Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living health care fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. I need your happy face and memories of Spain, because this is that cloudy, depressing time of year. You know, it's after Christmas now. People get crabby this time of year.
That's when I try to plan all my trips.
Yeah, right. Anyway, when I see you, I think of warm Spain.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, Spain has winter, at least where I was born. And in some places have winter that could be as cold as here. But
really?
It's one of, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's one of these stereotypes that go unchecked. There are some areas in Spain that could be as cold as here. Where I was born in Barcelona, at least we have winter. Think of the month of November here for the rest of winter. It doesn't get worse
like
than that.
Yeah.
And then it may snow in Barcelona like once or twice every 5 years. And that day, that city goes in absolute chaos.
Oh, sure.
But we do have winter. We do have seasons. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, this is that long period of time we're beginning. In fact, we really started ordinary time on Monday of this week.
Mm-hmm.
So after the baptism of the Lord. So this is the second Sunday in ordinary time. We have a little stretch of ordinary time here until Lent begins, and that's on March 6th, which is Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how about I read the Gospel?
We are reading from John's Gospel. It's the traditionally the second Sunday in ordinary time for the three cycles of the lectionary, ABC years. We do read from John, and we are reading chapter 2, verse 1 to 11.
There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there, for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then, when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory. And his disciples began to believe in him.
So it's a great gospel. Obviously, the first sign, as miracles are called in John's gospel. So let me ask you a question. You know, we have a faith formation program that is new, and I'm more involved than I've been in the past. So
so we
elaborate. It's a family program. But when we meet, there is a family activity.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, geography is very important, and history. And this gospel happens in Cana. I remember one activity for the families that was about identifying these places in a map of Israel. Would that make any sense to you, or is that a European thing that we care more about geography than Americans?
Pretty good question. I don't know. I think if you ask five different people, you're going to get five different answers from Americans.
Yeah.
We are interested. I think we're interested.
Do people care what Cana is, or you know what I mean, where this miracle
happens?
They
should, but I'm going to be honest. It takes a little bit to get people excited about
okay.
that. You're
okay.
right about that. Quick theory, now that you've just thrown that at my feet, is I think because geographically speaking, the United States is so large
yeah.
compared to Europe and other places where the countries and the states are a little smaller,
mm-hmm.
even if they cover a similar span of land. So we don't get used to thinking about things like that.
I
will say, though, for a lot of people, they don't understand distances in
yeah,
the Holy Land.
Exactly.
And what we understand the Holy Land.
So this is very close. At least we can say this is in Galilee, in the, mm-hmm. the region where Jesus grew up, at least, right?
Right.
And it's close to Nazareth. This is where the ministry begins. For me, it's fascinating that you see what Jesus is doing is to turning the water that the gospel says very clearly that was for the ceremonial washing, which is a ceremony of cleansing. He turns this into wine, which is a sign of celebration. So I've always understood this gospel this way. The water of cleansing becomes wine, which is, it will be the blood of Christ later, but always wine is a sign of celebration. So I always thought that that's the real miracle, that Jesus reveals himself like this. He's not going to be about just cleansing, but he's going to be about celebration also.
I think that's a really interesting observation. You saw me take a note here that
I get so much happiness when I see you writing something.
See, I open my pen and write. Because I've always focused on, which I think you'd agree with, the bigger aspect of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the first miracle of Jesus takes place at a wedding, and a reminder of maybe that more human side of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Say, at a wedding, he laughed, he had fun, you know, he had something to drink, and engaged with individuals. A little bit of a reminder to us, too, that as people of faith, that we engage with culture and we engage with other individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Some people are called to cloistered life, to live in prayer together. But even within their community, I mean, they have time together and they celebrate. It's important for us as people of faith to go out and see a movie sometimes, to drink alcohol, to have a drink once in a while, and just to have fun. It's what Jesus did here as well.
You did mention drinking alcohol, which reminds me of a funny story. Yeah, well, when I was the pastor at St. Patrick in Racine, many of the parishioners came from the same town in Mexico, Santa Fe, in Jalisco. And I remember, well, you go there and I mean, they offer you tequila very early in the morning. So I'm not trying to justify myself. But let's say that it was a Saturday and with the friends I was going to and visiting the town, we maybe have more than one drink.
Sure.
I don't drink much anymore, so I can speak about this freely. Alcohol is not good, in my opinion. But I remember that the next day I was presiding mass at the church in town, and this was the reading. So I said to my friends, you see, it was fine that winter.
Oh, that's funny.
They speak about the peaks and the valleys of the gospel. And the peaks is what we get. We get this, but this gives you a window into how was the life of Jesus. And he's going to a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And weddings there, they were an affair for days, probably. So it's even more than now today. And Jesus goes with his friends and his mother is there. This interesting dialogue with Mary asking, well, it says the mother of Jesus asking him to do something. And there is, you know, as I'm a Mediterranean son, so I have a Mediterranean mother. When mom tells you to do something, you do it. You see there, Jesus tries not to do it, but...
But that's good context.
Yeah.
I think, at least to some ears, it can be a little off-putting in that it appears that Jesus kind of tells off mom.
Mm-hmm.
How does your concern affect me? And I think that's us using more Western contemporary sense of conversation to read into this a little bit more than to read. This is just a normal dialogue.
Yeah.
I think you've got a good way of emphasizing that as you speak of your own mother.
If you remember in Luke's gospel, the dialogue between Mary and the angel at the visitation, she has something to object also. She says, and I think it's very similar here, Jesus says, well, maybe it's not my time, and she insists. and then the first miracle happens. I think it's a sign also of what we experience in our faith life, that what you've said so many times, sometimes we feel we are not prepared, that it's not time to do something, but we have to.
Right.
We have to do something, even though we feel like, I would wait some more. Jesus realizes, maybe I wasn't totally ready, but maybe it's time to start revealing myself.
Exactly. And Mary here provides command, in a sense, to the servers, that is just a great model for us in life as Christians. Do whatever he tells you.
Mm-hmm.
That's so beautiful. I mean, there have been saints have just reflected on those words. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Trust, and you're going to be taken care of.
I have a question for you, though.
Yes.
So this is a gospel with lots of scriptural elements. So if you are a show-off, as I have been and maybe I am, but when I was younger, I would preach many times like a kind of script Bible study, because it's what I like, an exegetical homily about the gospel. And people were happy and it's fascinating and people love learning these things about the water and about... But then you may forget to give people an application to their lives. You know what I mean? There is
right.
always this tension between explaining, but then how would you take this gospel and this is how we apply it in our lives? I would probably say go a little beyond the cleansing and thinking always that we have so much to cleanse in our lives, and then go more to say maybe it's about being able to celebrate with others and to know others. And you know, it's a little bit about joy. I don't want to say happiness, but about the joy of the gospel as something that we could apply in this gospel.
I think you're right about that. And in fact, that's one of the directions that I would go, that I would think about here. Another one is just what I said in trust. Do whatever Jesus tells you, and just trusting him. How often do we negotiate with Jesus
yeah.
and still hold on to strings and control particular parts of those areas of our lives where he wants to be there for us and to help us? We could speak about miracles that happen in the midst of, here, a wedding, but in the midst of ordinary life,
mm-hmm.
the extraordinary that's in the ordinary, perhaps.
That's another
option. I don't think I'll quite do that, but I think there are a few things in here that mm-hmm. really apply to our daily life. It's hard because this is a wedding, and we've all been, most of us, at one point to at least one wedding in our life, so we can understand this kind of context.
Yeah. We should have a subsection of this podcast to say wisdom from my father, which would be my father has always said that, and he reflects a lot with he says that it's easy to be sad with people when they are sad, but it's difficult to be when people are celebrating. And this Jesus in a wedding, it's the joy of another person. Do you know what I mean by what he means?
He says that
despite our thinking the opposite, it's easy to be with people when they are sad. You console them. That's what you have to do. But how difficult it is to be with people when they are happy.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
You agree?
Oh, I agree.
And that gospel made me think of this.
I used to think of it a different way. I think those seemingly happy occasions, whether it be a wedding, I think of this sometimes with a graduation of our kids
yeah.
from school, other scenarios in which, frankly, there's a lot of mixed emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed emotions there, especially at a wedding. People are very aware, perhaps, of their own heartbreak in their lives and maybe just a struggle to celebrate well, but you've got to look happy.
That's part of it. I think he means that it's easy, if you are sad, it's easy to find the typical formulas to be sad
okay.
with someone. But to be happy with someone, to be joyful with someone, means to accept that the other person is the point, not you.
I see.
And at the
okay.
same time, to be able to really share, because how much can we enjoy the happiness of others or the joy of
right.
others? That's an interest. Maybe that
you're
because,
right. No, yeah. that's a very specific area we all struggle with,
yeah.
to really rejoice at the successes of others. The risk, of course, we fall into is that it's that valley, those peaks. Here's the valley of greed and envy. Or,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, of envy, of jealousy.
Yeah,
we fall into that. Well, this was good. There's a lot here, a long gospel, a lot to digest. Hopefully we all take advantage of moving forward in ordinary time. We're going to get back to Luke's gospel, which
mm-hmm.
will be the focus for ordinary time in a bit. And then early March, then we'll switch to some different readings for Lent. If you want to look for Mass Times, masstimes.org is a national website to do that. In southeastern Wisconsin, archmill.org is the website for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee.
And as always, if you know anybody who could benefit from listening to us, we would be happy that you let them know we exist.
Well, thanks for joining together with us again as we look over the scriptures. And the two of us will come back next week. How about that?
See you then.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.